You're listening to Relevant Radio, 950 AM and 930 AM. Talk radio for Catholic life. Good morning. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will bring you programs about the people, the issues, and the faith that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
I send you out on a mission of love. I send you out on a mission of love. I send you out on a mission of love, and know that I am with you always until the end of the world.
Welcome to A Mission of Love. This is Beth White, your host. I'm the Director for Evangelization and Missionary Discipleship for the Archdiocese, and with me this morning, my co-host is Jennifer Delvaux. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning.
Jennifer has a little slight head cold this morning. we're going to talk about Advent, which we are approaching quickly. It starts on Sunday. And today I just thought we would talk a little bit to some different people and be sort of creative when we think about Advent. Themes of the season, sort of prayer resource, gifts, music, traditions. But our focus is also on through that evangelization lens. So how do we think about this time as a time when we can share our faith with others and specifically reach out to our brothers and sisters during this time? So with me in studio right now is Beth Kenobi, who's the relationship manager for the Midwest for Catholic Relief Services. Good morning.
Good morning.
More people most likely know CRS. And David Anderson, who's the vice president of church music for GIA Music, but he's also the director of music for Ascension Catholic Church in Oak Park. Good morning.
Good morning.
So I thought I'd bring the two of you in just to talk about sort of creatively. CRS is something that we think about traditionally during Lent because of Rice Bowl.
Sure.
But I know that on that homepage, there are so many resources in your website. So I thought I would bring Beth in just to talk a little bit about what you offer for Advent for folks.
Sure. And I Catholic Relief Services, I always hope that people, when they think of CRS, they think about the work that CRS does in over 112 countries around the world, serving 125 million beneficiaries. And when something significant, major natural disasters, crisis happen around the world, that they know that the church is there because Catholic Relief Services is there. And we do have this secondary mission here in the United States to help share the message of Christ and Christ's love for the world through prayer, through action, through advocacy, through giving. And Advent is a really great time to do that, because what's Advent about? Advent is this sense of anticipation for Christmas, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's about stepping back, slowing down, watching, waiting, being mindful for the presence of God who is about to enter into our midst in this really radical way. So how do we celebrate that through the work of Catholic Relief Services? We have all sorts of wonderful prayer resources available on our website. There's two things that I always like to highlight in our Advent resources. One is we have some wonderful Sunday Advent reflections, and I know there's many organizations you can go to online and find wonderful scripture reflections. The thing that I like about the reflections that Catholic Relief Services offers is that not only do you get a beautiful reflection on the Sunday Gospels, but it also comes with a story of someone who CRS has supported around the world. So you might hear a story of a coffee farmer in Guatemala. Or my favorite story, I was just reading it yesterday, was a story of a little boy in Ghana. And it's the story that we're highlighting on the third Sunday of Advent, which is Gaudete Sunday, the Sunday of rejoicing. This little boy talking about how excited he is to go to school every day. And how many of us get excited about going to school? I'm sure, like, waiting for Christmas, kids are like, I can't wait to be done with this. But to recognize that the gift of education is such a prize prized gift in the countries where CRS serves, and to hear that sense of joy and rejoicing. So our Sunday reflections for the season of Advent are available on our website. You could just go to www.crs.org. And the easiest way to find them is just click on that little magnifying glass, which is the search bar, type in Advent resources or Advent reflections, and it should be one of the first things that comes up on the website. The other thing that you'll find in that same place is an online Advent digital retreat. Again, wonderful way to, and it's short. You know, it's something that you could do in as short as maybe 10 minutes. But if you really want to spend some time maybe reflecting and journaling, you could spend a whole half hour or hour. It's very interactive. Again, it includes stories. It has some video clips. Really short, kind of 10-minute retreat chance to do this retreat wherever you are, in the comfort of your home, over your lunch break, at the office. A chance, again, just to step back and reflect on the meaning of the season.
So tell us a little bit about, we've had a lot of natural disasters lately in our world. Mm-hmm. And so I know on the ground here in the United States, it's mostly Catholic Charities that does the support services from the Catholic perspective.
Right.
But CRS is that international arm, mm-hmm. right? That's our presence in different countries.
Right.
So how has this year been for CRS?
It's been a challenging year.
I bet.
You know, natural disasters, I think especially among the international community, I think CRS is really recognized as one of the premier organizations for emergency relief. And especially when you're talking about major international disasters like the earthquake in Mexico, mm-hmm. The hurricanes that went through the Caribbean, you know, much of that is a very coordinated and collaborative effort. Catholic Relief Services is not the only organization on the ground. We were certainly one of many and one that is very highly regarded because of our logistics, mm-hmm. because of our ability to get in there immediately and begin to make an impact. And so our work is both that immediate relief, so being able to do some assessment and determine the best way to immediately respond to needs for housing, food, clean water, cleaning supplies, mm-hmm. some of that immediate disaster recovery. But I think the additional gift that CRS brings is these are communities where the church already has a presence, where Catholic Relief Services has a presence, and we're in it for the long haul.
Right.
So really looking at creative ways of how do we support a community long term as they begin to rebuild. You know, in places like the Philippines, where we were responding to Typhoon Haiyan a number of years ago, you know, bringing in structural engineers and climate engineers to look at, you know, what is the risk of ongoing flooding and how do we rebuild in such a way that this community can not only thrive again, but that they aren't nearly as susceptible to natural disasters. How do we help build up people's resilience in the face of natural disasters that are likely to strike again?
And so CRS is, from my understanding, Beth, is you're also, like you said, you're on the ground there all mm-hmm. the time. So you're trying to not just respond to natural disasters, but you're trying to do long-term sort of affect change.
That's right.
And so one of those ways is through sort of your support of these fair trade or ethical
yeah.
Giving sort of opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And so I also know on your website that you have some shopping for Christmas opportunities.
We do. And you know, we try to be in the season of Advent, right, and enter into this spirit of prayer
and reflection. We have to buy those gifts.
Well, we know that's the reality, right? And if the reality is that our Catholic communities are out there shopping and getting excited about gift giving as anyone else, what a great time to remind people that there's a face behind every button on your blouse, and it's not just a machine that put mm-hmm. together your clothes, that there's a real human face behind every gift you buy. And Catholic Relief Services' commitment to ethical purchasing and fair trade is really a way of saying, you know, how do we support farmers, producers, their communities, And the environment in which these products are grown and made. And so one of the things that we've done is highlighted some organizations on our website who we can assure to you have been very consistent in their ethical practices of how they have sourced the materials for all these different gifts. And we can talk more about
that. That's awesome, Beth. When we come back from our break, we'll talk a little bit more with Beth about those opportunities.
I send you out on a mission of love. I send you out.
Catholic high schools in the Archdiocese of Chicago have a 98% graduation rate. 96% of our Catholic high school graduates go on to college. Last year, our graduates earned over $200 million in scholarships to universities and colleges. With such an impressive track record, it's no wonder 8th grade students are sharpening their pencils for the high school entrance exam. Hello, I'm Dr. Jim Riggs, Superintendent of Catholic Schools. Our high school entrance exams will take place on Saturday, December 2nd at 8 a.m. Students can register at the high school they most want to attend. For more information about our Catholic high schools, including an interactive school finder, visit schools.archchicago.org. That's schools.archchicago.org. You can also call 312-534-5200. That's 312-534-5200. This is an invitation to make a great investment in your future. Our Catholic high schools create enormous success, so don't miss out on taking the Catholic High School Entrance Exam on Saturday, December the 2nd. Please contact the high school of your choice to sign up now.
As we celebrate our 100th anniversary, I want to offer a special thank you to the Good Samaritans who support Catholic Charities. I'm Monsignor Mike Boland. We feed, clothe, shelter, and give job counseling to nearly 1 million people each year. Homeless veterans, the elderly, youth, pregnant women, and now grieving survivors of children shot and killed in the streets of Chicago all count on Catholic Charities. See how you can help at CatholicCharities.net. You may be of another faith or no faith, but you have faith in us. Thank you.
I send you out on a mission of love. I send you out on a mission of love. I send you out on a mission of love. And know that I am with you always until the end of the world.
Welcome back to A Mission of Love. This is Beth White, your host this morning with Jennifer Delvo, our co-host. We're talking to Beth Kenobi from CRS, and we're talking about ethically produced gifts. So on the website, it says, put Christmas back in your shopping with ethically produced gifts that uplift a world of people. Every partner is vetted for fair wages, safer working conditions, and environmentally sustainable practices. Give better, live better, starting now. So,
but it's so true, right? And I sometimes think, you know, you don't realize this until maybe you've had a chance to visit these places. Mm-hmm. And I have to tell you,
you've visited places, right?
I have. I actually went to Rwanda with Catholic Relief Services, and then with another organization, International Samaritan, spent a lot of time in Guatemala.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, and I have this rosary bracelet that I put on every single morning. It was made in Nicaragua. And I have a pair of earrings, and these also were made by a fair trade cooperative in Nicaragua at a village that I visit. And it is, I think when you purchase ethically and you make that conscious choice and you recognize that there's a person, most often a woman, but who's the seamstress or the crafts artisan behind these products. And I'm lucky that I get to know the people that made my bracelet and my earrings this morning. And so I say a little prayer for them each and every day. Catholic Relief Services has some great gifts on our website. And as Beth was reading off the website, we're really committed to the dignity of work and the ethical and fair treatment of the environment and the people who make these products. Our shopping gift guide includes the kind of things that you would expect to find on a Christmas gift-giving guide, things like Christmas ornaments and olive wood ornaments from the Holy Land, different kinds of nativity sets from all around the world, some really beautiful pieces. Of course, there's coffee and chocolate and other snacks,
my
little
two favorite
stocking
things.
Stuffers. But over the last year or so, we've added some really fun and very fashionable partners who are really excited to share their mission and give back to the men and women who help make their goods.
By purchasing something, I think it said on there, not only are you helping that individual and that community, but you're also helping CRS.
That's correct. So if you go to our ethical trade website, which is www.ethicaltrade.crs.org, and click on shopping guide, you'll find our shopping guide, and you'll find information about our CRS Fair Trade Fund. So
great.
Not only are these organizations committed to ethically producing this merchandise, but they also give a percentage of their profits back to Catholic Relief Services.
That's wonderful.
So I brought a couple of things to do some show and tell.
Yay!
One of the things that we're really excited to offer this year are these really fun and funky socks made by Maggie's Organics. They are 100% cotton, ethically produced, made in the USA. They're a company based in Michigan. And these socks are part of our Share the Journey campaign. So a percentage of the funds go back to support refugee relief around the world. They designed those socks specifically for our Share the Journey migration campaign. So you can check those out. And then I also
These are great, Beth.
Aren't those fun?
Yeah,
she bought
a pair of black and gray ones and green and
kind of
darker green, yellow green.
Yeah, and there's a really fun red and black. The black and gray that you're holding, Beth, I call those my priest socks. All of the priests and all of my brothers and my brothers-in-law and my dad, don't tell, my dad, are all getting a pair of those socks for Christmas.
Nice. And it says, love your neighbor. Loveyourneighbor.us. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Share. So what's Share Journey? What is that? Share the Journey.
Share Journey is Pope Francis's migration campaign that kicked off in September. You'll be hearing a lot from our colleagues
wonderful.
In the Office for Human Dignity and Solidarity and the Office for Immigration, especially as we get into January. We'll have to.
They had a great booth at NCYC, the National Catholic Youth Conference, that a lot of us on staff helped with.
Yeah. So on the Feast of Epiphany, we'll be hearing more about that.
Oh, awesome. What else you got there?
So I brought coffee and chocolate to share. But I wanted to highlight
what's the chocolates?
So the chocolates are from Equal Exchange. And the thing I love about Equal Exchange is they have a great milk chocolate and dark chocolate.
Okay.
But they also have coffees from around the world. They have olive oils. They have a number of other food items as well, kind of packaged nuts and different mixes.
That's great.
If you're looking for those locally, I know that the bookstore at Mundelein Seminary carries a whole variety of chocolate and coffee from Equal Exchange. But I also want to highlight two other partners of ours. We're actually based in the Chicago area, but they're part of our national partnerships with a number of different organizations. One of them is a great organization called Cause Gear. They support women's empowerment programs in India, which is where a lot of their products are made. But they make things like backpacks, purses, T-shirts, tote bags. So some really fun items from an organization called Cause Gear. And also Mata Traders is also based here in Chicago. They do a lot of women's apparel, again, shirts, blouses, dresses. Mata Traders, you can find them on the CRS Ethical Trade website. And I know 10,000 Villages carries a lot of their products as well.
So, Beth, what is the, from an evangelization perspective, when you give someone one of these gifts, what does that provide you an opportunity for?
Wow. What a great question. I think it always provides an opportunity to tell a story, right? It gives you an opportunity to not only tell a story of why this is important to me as a person of faith, that to say as a person of faith, I care deeply about the poor and the vulnerable, that my faith makes a difference. My faith is relevant in my everyday life. And that one way of living out our faith is examining the way it influences our purchasing decisions. That my faith isn't something that is contained on a Sunday inside a church, but that it's something that overflows. And I think by purchasing, by making ethical purchases, by maybe taking an opportunity to tell a story as part of a gift, can be a real opportunity to witness to someone, mm-hmm. to say, here's a really practical way of how I live out my faith.
Right. Well, and I think that's part of it, that practical way in which you put your faith into action.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back.
I send you out on a mission of love. I send you out.
Pope Francis calls us to draw near to the poor, to encounter them, to meet their gaze, to embrace them. The Catholic Campaign for Human Development lives out this message of solidarity by addressing root causes of poverty. CCHD accompanies low-income communities as they confront the unjust structures that affect them. Support the work of CCHD by donating during the annual collection on November 18th and 19th. Visit cchdchicago.org to learn more and to contribute online.
The Word Made Clear is exactly what its name implies. It's an easy-to-understand explanation of the Word of God, the Gospel. Hello. I'm Father James McElhone, Director of Biblical Formation for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I'd like to invite you to take our free online Bible study program by going to thewordmadeclear.org. Our website offers an audio-based guide to the Gospels of Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John. Listen to my lectures and follow along with the handouts provided. There are even discussion guides. You can also explore the biblical roots of the Mass. And there are links to a wide variety of biblical sources that will benefit both teachers and students of the Sacred Scriptures. Just go to wordmadeclear.org to experience our free online Bible study program. Again, it's free at wordmadeclear.org. It's the Word of God. Enjoy.
On a mission of love, I send you out. On a mission of love, I send you out. On a mission of love, and know that I am with you always, until the end of the world.
Welcome back to A Mission of Love. This is Beth White, your host, with Jen Delvo, our co-host. Good morning. And we are speaking right now with Beth Kenobi from CRS, continuing our conversation, and we were just talking about ethically produced gifts. So these are wonderful opportunities to give to people and have conversations about our faith. Mm-hmm. And also, I think about the fact that you are actually helping a person.
That's
or
right.
A community.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And
help themselves. So we're not just like in purchasing something, we're helping a person use their gifts and talents.
Right. Exactly. And recognizing that person has dignity and worth.
Exactly.
And that they are part of a greater creative process of God's presence in the world and God acting in and through each of them.
And Beth, how have these small businesses, I think we hear a lot about it sometimes in the news and things like that. How have these small businesses transformed communities?
Oh, my goodness. You know, I think about the simple things that make such a tremendous impact when you're working with the poor and the vulnerable and you're able to help them identify their gifts and resources and assets. And that can be incredibly transformative. So, you know, Jen mentioned that she had a chance to go to Rwanda. I had a chance to go to Rwanda last year. And I remember meeting a woman who was part of one of these cooperatives and said that, you know, she took that little bit of small profit and she said, I bought a chicken and glasses for my son.
Wow.
And, you know, I I've got an appointment at the eye doctor next week. I'm not worried about how I'm going to pay for new glasses. But for her, you know, this was months of saving money. And to say, you know, I bought a chicken, which means I can have eggs for my family and food for my family and not worry about food security as much. And that, you know, to know that her son is going to have a better chance at an education and learning. It's really simple things. And there's a lot of support that goes behind those cooperatives as well.
That's wonderful. And today also in our studio, we have with us David Anderson, the director of music at Ascension Catholic Church. He's been sitting here quietly. So, David, did you bring us any gifts?
No, I brought no gifts.
The gift of yourself.
My gift of myself, right.
So Jen is also a parishioner at Ascension, a new parishioner there. So, David, talk to us a little bit about during Advent how important music is.
Well, I think for the church, music is always important because music is really a way that we as a Christian community can express our unity in Christ. It's something we do together when we gather for Sunday Eucharist. And throughout the week, the many ways we pray in the parish, often music is kind of that connecting point to kind of bring people together, to kind of set our focus, to put our direction towards God or direction towards Christ or be more aware of the presence of the Spirit in the community. So we do all that through our community singing.
I heard someone give a presentation recently on music, and they talked about how the science says that every part of the brain is activated when you're singing and enjoying music. And I think that that's very interesting because it is a way for us for an evangelization kind of thought process. If you have really good music, it's a way for people to enter into this encounter with Christ.
Sure, because it involves the whole person, your body, your breath, your spirit, your mind. So all of that's involved in the act of singing and communal song together.
So you've pretty much given your life to music, is that right?
Well, yes. Most of my I've been at Ascension for a very long time. I'm in my 27th year there.
Wow.
So, it's an amazing, beautiful parish with really wonderful people and wonderful outreaches. And it's just a lovely community to work in and to serve in that area of music and prayer.
So, Jen, do you want to talk a little bit about why you wanted to invite David in?
Sure. One of the things that I first learned about Ascension when I started drifting in on the odd days that I wasn't at work at the Holy Name Cathedral, where I used to work, was that there was always a monthly Tisay prayer, and that was something that I was first introduced to at World Youth Day, and the experience of praying that prayer with thousands of other young adults who, you know, could have serious struggles otherwise communicating because of language barriers and cultural barriers and so forth. But yet that pulled us together and spoke to me quite significantly. So I was really excited to see that that was something offered at Ascension. And then as we were talking in our office about Advent and the prayer resources we've been working on and so forth, that it sprang to mind as really one of the ideal ways to help reach out. It's something easy to invite people to because the Catholic Mass is challenging for somebody who's never darkened the door of a church, but I feel like Tisay prayer with its simplicity and beauty could really be a great way of saying to your friend or roommate, you know, care to join me. This is something that would be a great way to dive in and maybe find that peace you've been looking for.
Yeah, I think it's a good entryway for people, especially for young people. You know, for the Tisay community as an ecumenical monastic community, really for a little over 75 years, you know, they've been welcoming thousands of young people, mostly young adults each year. And their prayer form really evolved over the years because they really had to respond to the need. How do we pray with all of these young people? And so that's when they started singing these very simple songs that people have come to know as the Tisay songs or the Tisay chants. And they're in many different languages. And but you're right. It's a very simple prayer. The Brothers of Tisay refer to the prayer as being a very poor prayer. They're very humble about the way they gather three times a day at the community. And but it's basically common singing of these very simple chants, which are very much like mantras or short phrases. There's always just a little bit of scripture. And then in the middle of the service, there's 8 to 10 minutes of silence. Mm. So there might be 2,000, 3,000 young people at Teze that week, or whatever. And so it kind of leads to that silence where, you know, we do all of this together. We've been singing, we've been doing all of this together. And then together we support one another in this silent reaching out to the Lord in prayer. And they've never really tried to teach young people about meditation or Christian meditation techniques. They really just trust that the Holy Spirit is going to kind of lead that young person to kind of seek and to enter into the holy, the experience of God. So.
And that silence, I think, is something that so many young adults are really looking for. I know mm-hmm. in the work that I've done in young adult ministry, when we've built that into prayer time, no mm-hmm. matter how much work or how ornate everything else is, that silence is often what people say was most important to them.
Yeah, I don't think people really – I think people are very hungry for silence. A lot of people feel like when we try to introduce silence into the Sunday liturgy, I think people say, oh, people are going to be nervous. But deep down, people are very hungry for silence and for to try to kind of have a space. And so the brothers have always talked about, especially at Teze, you know, creating a place and a space where young people, people of all ages, it's not just young people and young adults, but to kind of create that place and that space to let God do God's work. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? To let the Spirit kind of pray deep within.
David, we're going to take a quick break and we'll come mm-hmm. back and talk a little bit more about Teze prayer.
On a mission of love, I send you out. On a mission of love, I send you out. On a mission of love, and know that I am with you always until the end of the world.
Ever think of donating your car? You can donate a car that you no longer need to Catholic Charities. The donation will help needy people throughout Cook and Lake Counties. Donating your car is easy. Call us at 877-786-GIVE from anywhere in the country. That's 877-786-4483. Pickup is free. We do the paperwork and you get a tax deduction. Catholic Charities accepts cars, trucks, vans, motorcycles, or boats in almost any condition. No need to pay hefty repair bills. Avoid the hassle of selling. Calls taken 7 days a week at 877-786-GIVE. That's 877-786-4483. Or go online to CatholicCharities.net.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 44 Archdiocese of Chicago Catholic cemeteries willing to help you in your time of loss. Call 708-449-6100 or visit CatholicCemeteriesChicago.org. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
You're listening to Relevant Radio, 950 AM and 930 AM. Talk radio for Catholic life. Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that touch our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. and 930 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to A Mission of Love. This is Beth White, the host for this morning's show. We're listening to a little clip of music from the Teze Prayer Experience. We have with us David Anderson, who's the Director of Music at Ascension Catholic Church here in Oak Park. So thank you, David, for being with us.
Thank you.
We're just having a conversation with Jen Delvaux, our co-host this morning, talking a little bit about this prayer experience. So David brought in a CD. That's his gift to us, to listen to a little bit of music. If people haven't experienced Taizé, how can they get involved through your parish?
Well, everybody is welcome. We gather on the first Friday of each month, with the exception of January 1st. We always gather on the World Day of Prayer for Peace. So the Taizé community has really a strong commitment to reconciliation and peacemaking, you know, reconciliation between certainly all the Christian communities and then all the peoples of the world. So when young people, when people of all ages go to Taizé, not only do they pray and sing and not only are they welcomed, but they're really invited to really kind of reflect on what do I need, how can I be a peaceful person, how can I be a reconciler in the world. So for 25 years now, on the first Friday in Oak Park, we've been trying to bring Christians from all denominations together for a time of prayer. And when young people go to Taizé, they often say, how can I bring this back to my community? And so the brothers are really not about, don't start, yeah, you go back to your own local community. If you're Methodist, go back to your Methodist church, go back to your Catholic church, your Lutheran church, and then, but maybe invite people to come together, you know, to pray together and really celebrate not the division, but that unity that already exists. So that's what we've tried to do for 25 years in Oak Park. And it's been a real blessing. It's all spread by word of mouth. And we have a prayer this coming Friday. And we have groups that come. We have a group of about 29 young people coming from Madison, Wisconsin. They're coming to Chicago for a weekend of service.
Wow.
And these young kids have never experienced Taizé. And they come every year. This high school campus minister from Madison, she brings her kids every year. And so they start the weekend with this prayer gathering. And then they'll go off and kind of work with the homeless and people on the margins throughout the weekend. So there's really a connection to prayer and mission and outreach with the Taizé community.
Which is part of the reason why we wanted to bring together CRS and, mm-hmm. and sort of prayer to that connection that our service should be an extension from our prayer and should return to prayer.
Right.
And so that's a beautiful way to think about starting your weekend of service with mm-hmm. the Taizé experience.
Yeah, because really the prayer and the song and indeed Sunday liturgy, Sunday mass, mm-hmm. it really can form us, you know. They form us as disciples of Christ. And we're really called to bring our whole life to the Eucharist each Sunday, but what do we do during the week? And I think Catholics and Christians of all denominations really grapple with what is my prayer practice. So I think the more that we can offer people, if we can gather and pray by singing Taizé songs and having some shared silence together and reflecting on Scripture and some intercession, these are ways that really can kind of build and form a spiritual life. And then when we go to Sunday Eucharist or we go to Sunday worship, depending on our tradition, you know, we can kind of bring the fruit of our prayer, the fruit of our week. We can be empty, we can be full, but all of that kind of serves and kind of just really builds up the spirit, builds up the heart, you know, a heart for God. So
we also know, Jen and I also noticed that you also have, you put together meditation groups or spiritual mm-hmm. adult spirituality opportunities at your parish.
Right. Even though I'm music director, it's been interesting the past few years. We had this idea to have kind of a more open-ended Christian meditation group. A lot of people are familiar with centering prayer and other mm-hmm. forms of Christian meditation, Father John Main. And so we decided to just put it out there. And so every Saturday we have a group of about 20 to 40 people.
Wow.
That gather, and we have silence for about 22 minutes, and then
22
yeah.
minutes.
Yeah,
about.
Yeah, yeah, no, it is 20. Yeah, so we have a 20-minute, 20 minutes of silence. But there's a little before and after. We'll often actually sing a Taizé style, a Taizé song to kind of get into a space and a place to be kind of quiet and to kind of go deep within. And then we'll have a brief reading of from some spiritual writer and a little bit of sharing. So this group that's been meditating together. And trying to kind of open themselves to the path of Christian contemplation and contemplative prayer, then they have a chance to kind of share with one another, you know, the joys, the struggles, and
wow,
and all of
wonderful.
That. So it's so that's that's been an amazing thing. And then we also offer throughout the year different retreats. We have mornings of reflection. We just try to offer folks different ways to kind of strengthen their encounter, to strengthen their prayer practice, to kind of even let them know that there are different ways. You know, Brother Roger of the Taizé community said, for every person, there's a different way of prayer.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
So. And Jen and I have talked a lot about that, the importance for evangelization is prayer to mm-hmm. enable, to give space to God to be able to speak to you and guide you and you be able mm-hmm. to hear his voice. And that silence that you all were talking about, how powerful that is during Advent to give ourselves a gift of some silence.
Yes.
You think about the interior life of Mary during this time of in preparation for Jesus coming and mm-hmm. holding things close to her heart.
Right.
And
yeah.
So I think this is a really great time for us in the busyness of the chaos
right.
of the season.
Yes, exactly.
To give ourselves yeah. the permission to yeah. have some silence.
Yeah, because people are very hungry for it. And I think people get to the end of a day or a week and they just feel so scattered and so frantic. And so I always think of Advent. Advent is really kind of the season to kind of remind yourself to make space for God.
Right.
Just like Lent reminds us of those three practices that we're supposed to do year round.
Right.
Advent is kind of that reminder to kind of make space. So if you can find one way to make space in your day, each Advent day, and it could be 5 minutes, it could be 10 minutes, but and I like what you said about Mary, because Mary is that person of anticipation.
Right.
Mary is that model disciple of awaiting, you know, and expectation. And this Sunday in the liturgy, we'll hear words, you know, stay awake, keep watch. Mm-hmm. You know, those are all the Advent words, you know, expectation. So just different ways to kind of slow down and remind us that in the midst of getting ready for Christmas, every day is about giving birth to God. And bringing God to the world.
And I was blessed enough that when my daughter was born in January, so I actually was 8 months pregnant during that Advent. And it really, when you're pregnant, it's you're very interior. It's a very interior experience.
Wow.
And so we're supposed to birth Christ at every time. So we need to take that time.
Right.
Well, thank you so much, David Anderson, for being with us this morning to talk about Taizé prayer. Up next, we have Jose Torres from the Office of Immigration to talk to us a little bit about a tradition in the Mexican tradition. So stay tuned.
On a mission of love, I send you out. On a mission of love, I send you out. On a mission of love, and know that I am with you always, until the end of the world.
Chicago is being crippled by violence, inequality, and division. Join the Catholic Campaign for Human Development in turning things around. Visit cchdchicago.org to learn more.
We can't accept this colored priest.
But the Catholic Church deplores double slavery, that of the mind and that of the body.
You ain't nothing but a troublemaker.
I was a poor slave boy. But the priest of the church did not disdain me.
We want no Toltons in this place.
I shall work at it and pull at it as long as God gives me life.
Get out of Quincy, go elsewhere, get!
May I never give up.
Learn more at toltondrama.com.
I send you out on a mission of love. I send you out on a mission of love, I send you out. On a mission of love, and know that I am with you always, until the end of the world.
Well, it's time for us to become people of spirit.
Welcome back to the Mission of Love. This is Beth White, your host this morning, with Jen DelVoe, our co-host. Good morning, Jen. So that was wonderful having David Anderson in here. You're very blessed to have him at your parish.
Oh, most definitely. You know, good friend of mine in college always said that we should all sing. If God gave us a great voice, then he should hear it. And if God gave us a bad voice, which especially today I'm sounding like, that he really deserves to hear it. But, you know, I think what David was saying about joining together in song to bring together the community and really engage is so useful and so meaningful. It's a great way to just center yourself before Mass.
That is, he's great. So we have up next with us is Jose Torres from Immigration Ministry. Good morning, Jose.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. So he's with the Office for Human Dignity and Solidarity, which is one of our sister offices, I guess. Actually, Beth Kenobi from CRS, she's also sort of underneath that department. So welcome, Jose.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So continuing our theme on Advent, we've talked about prayer and different kinds of prayer and music and sort of resources to help us engage our faith. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about traditions. We all have traditions in our families. And so my last question to the two of you is going to be, our last question is going to be, is there a favorite tradition? So I just want to give you a little heads up. So just for the folks on our that are our listeners, just think about your own traditions. And one of those traditions in the Mexican community is Las Posadas, right?
Yes, Las Posadas.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about Las Posadas?
Of course. And yes, indeed, that is one of my favorite traditions growing up as a child in Mexico. I remember the family praying the rosary together during the week before Christmas. So we would pray every single day starting on the 16th.
Mm-hmm.
We pray the rosary,
right.
And basically it's the reenactment of the story of Joseph and Mary looking for shelter.
So one of the Posada is it's a novena, right?
It's for 8 days. So
right.
It's practically
okay.
A novena.
Kind of. All right.
Only for one more day.
That's what it said online. Who knows?
Then we celebrate Christmas.
Oh, well, that's the ninth day of
exactly.
The novena.
Exactly. So it is a novena.
So in the tradition, though, it's the it's in some places they actually they journey, right? And they go to – so I worked with someone and she told me they would journey to someone's house. Someone would be Mary. Someone would be Joseph. Mm-hmm. And then they would ask, knock on the door, and then they would get to come in, and then they would have a party.
And before the party, we are rejected several times.
Ah, that's
just like
right.
Joseph and
rejection.
Mary.
Rejection, right.
There is a reaction. And until the end, God listens to our prayers, and the heart of a family is open, and we enter their home.
So this is a long-standing tradition in Mexico, and I know it has very different iterations, but it's also a part of the Mexican community has brought it to the United States, so it has very different iterations here as well, right? So it's lived out differently.
Exactly, and because of the current situation with the Hispanic community, it takes a special meaning. I'm referring to the Dreamers, young people who
right,
came to the
right,
States as
right.
children. They received the benefit of having a social security number, mm-hmm. applying for DACA under
so
the Obama administration.
Dreamers, just I'm sure most people know all of this, but Dreamers are those who came as children, undocumented children, into the country, right?
That's right.
Okay. And so they're folks who've come to this country, their parents brought them. So
they were not asked to come.
Exactly. So. And so under Obama, go ahead.
President Obama gave them the opportunity to apply for DACA,
mm-hmm.
which gives them a temporary work permit and the documents to live here.
Right.
And then the current administration said on September 5th,
right.
the program is over. So it's
right.
like giving us posada, right?
Yeah, giving
and
you
now
home.
Go away.
Right.
So
right.
in this posada, we're going to pray specifically for the Dreamers, for the Dream Act as well.
So the word posada means lodging or accommodation. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
House, home. Like for Mary and Joseph, it was a place to stay at the inn that they got turned away from, right?
Exactly. Shelter.
So we have a guest on the phone. Is that right?
Cecilia Garcia. I hope she's in the phone. She's one
yes,
of our leaders.
Yes, I am. Good
Hi.
Morning, everyone.
Good morning,
Cecilia.
Cecilia.
I'm Beth White, and this is Jen Delvo.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Thank you for joining us on the phone. So that's the tradition of the Posada, but we have one that's coming up here on December 15th. Is that right? From 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So, again, my name is Cecilia Garcia. I am part of the Immigration Ministry, Pastoral Inmigratoria. And I'll just say a little bit of my story. My husband was deported 5 years ago, so I can relate to the broken immigration system that we have. And this is very symbolic because what we do is, it begins at 7 in the morning, and then we visit every facility, which is like ICE. We begin typically at 101 West Congress, and we say a prayer for the families, you know, who have been affected by immigration, such as myself and other families that are going through the same process. And then we walk along going to the correctional center, which is on 71st Van Buren, and then we end it at St. Peter's Church. And this is all as a family. We also have someone who dresses up as Mary and Joseph, and we follow them as a family, and we come together as one. And especially like Jose had mentioned, we're focusing this year in particular for DACA. We want a clean Dream Act because it's so essential for these not only young, children, these young youth, but also for their parents as well. Unfortunately, reform was, we thought it was going to go through in 2007, but it did not. So since then, that's when the Posadas began here with our ministry.
So this is the 12th annual Posada, right?
It is.
Okay.
Correct. That is
so
correct.
So how have you, either Jose or Cecilia, how have you connected this tradition in the Mexican tradition with immigration issues? What was the purpose?
So basically, it's symbolic in the sense like when, you know, Mary and Joseph were seeking shelter. It's the same way as immigrants who are mm-hmm. fleeing from violence and are seeking shelter here in the U.S., you know, unaccompanied children, refugee children a few years back, you know, they came in thousands because they were seeking the violence from Central America. So that's how it is symbolic, where, like, as you mentioned, a posada does mean an inn and means seeking shelter, you know, from outside. So this is the same thing where these families who are migrating treacherous terrain, you know, risking their lives. But they're doing that to live in a safer place as opposed to the country they're fleeing from.
We're going to take a quick break right now, and then we'll be back to talk a little bit more with Jose and Cecilia.
On a mission of love, I send you out. On a mission of love, I send you out. On a mission of love.
Did you know you could meet your goal of running a marathon and grow in your faith at the same time? Hi, I'm Sister Stephanie of the Mission of Our Lady of the Angels here in Chicago. Our mission has valuable guaranteed entries into the 2018 Bank of America Chicago Marathon. We'll get you training help, a race weekend support crew, and much more. By joining Team OLA, you can help support the Mission of Our Lady of the Angels as we provide a Catholic presence and very needed outreach to the poor on Chicago's West Side. So run with me and the rest of Team OLA in the 2018 Chicago Marathon. We also will have a team in the Bank of America Shamrock Shuffle this coming spring. Visit missionola.com for more information or call 773-486-8431. That's missionola.com or call 773-486-8431. And please register by November 30th. Thanks so much and God bless.
I'm Mike O'Grady, president of Northern Trust. My wife Claire and I are chairing this year's Catholic Charities Spirit of St. Nicholas Ball. The 28th annual ball will be held on Friday, December 1st at the Hilton Chicago. This great event supports the 300,000 children served by Catholic Charities Children's Programs, many of whom live in violent and underserved communities. Get your tickets today at catholiccharities.net or call 312-948-6797. That's catholiccharities.net or call 312-948-6797. I hope you will join us for this spectacular evening to kick off the holiday season and support children who are counting on you.
Welcome back to A Mission of Love. This is Beth White, your host, and I have with me Jose Torres, and on the phone I have Cecilia, and they're talking a little bit about the Posada, and of course Jen is here with us as well. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about, Jose, how is this posada an evangelizing opportunity?
It is an opportunity because it opened the space for us to share our own stories.
Mm-hmm.
I explained how this tradition has been part of my life as a child. But also we pray the rosary together, and we pray in different languages, in Spanish, awesome. English, Polish. And people who pray the rosary are from different ways of life, different ages. We have students from high school, so the community gets involved. And then music is another way to evangelize. So we are walking along the way, starting at 101 West Congress, then we go to the federal prison. From there, we go to DePaul University. From DePaul, we go to Federal Plaza, and we finish at St. Peter's. In the route, we are singing beautiful songs. And through those songs, we touch the hearts of many people in terms of not only about immigration, but it's just asking people to open their hearts to Jesus.
And being present in the, I'm thinking about how, you know, we were called to prayer, but also we're called to action. And bringing our prayer and action together in this experience is a very different way to bring attention. Do you have people join you along the route?
People join us.
Yeah.
And they are wandering and they just listen to the music, which is very festive, very alive.
Yeah.
And we have beautiful symbols. And what is that? So they ask questions and they end walking with us many times.
So, Cecilia, where, if people want to get involved, where should they meet you?
So, again, we will begin at 101 West Congress, but we also have our Facebook page.
Oh, okay.
Which they can visit the Office of Immigrant and Affairs that we have the calendar. If I'm correct, right, Jose, that's the Facebook page?
www.catholicsandimmigrants.org.
That's
yes,
also the website.
The website. And there you can find the links to the Facebook pages that we have as well.
But all are welcome. I guess as we have repeated, it begins at 101 West Congress. Then we go to the Correctional Center, which is on 71 West Van Buren, then DePaul. And then we end at St. Peter's Church, where we open the doors for the posada. And we greet everybody with tamales and hot chocolate.
Ooh.
And yes,
buñuelos.
Yeah, buñuelos, so it's traditional, and it's lovely. I was born and raised here in Chicago, but we would go every year to Christmas in Mexico, and I love the posada. You see the Holy Family. It's amazing, and to bring this tradition out in public, you know, you're sharing your culture, your beliefs, and the love of God with, you know, your brother and sisters. I love it. I love this tradition.
So even though this is for a very serious issue and that's what you're praying for as you walk, it's also an incredibly joyful process.
Amen.
Is
exactly.
That right? Right.
Yeah, exactly. And then it brings to mind, you know, Jesus also was an immigrant. He also had to flee when King Herod, he made that order where once the king
that's
was
right.
born, to have the children killed. So
right.
he had to flee. You know, the angel
Mary, Joseph,
warned
and Jesus.
Joseph to flee, and that's what they did. So, you know, this is something that I believe brings awareness. And even in God's word, in God's life, he also was an immigrant. He also was a refugee. So this is what brings us all together.
Yeah. Right. Well, did you have something to add, Jess?
Yes. Another Jose. So the posada ends with the Christmas celebration, and it's a reminder that we must not lose hope. This year has been
yes.
difficult for the immigrant community, but we have Jesus who is coming.
Absolutely.
And he gives us light and he gives us hope to keep going.
That's right. There is no, I mean, that's the whole purpose of Advent, right, is hope. And so this is an opportunity to come together and bring hope. So if anybody wants to join you, please go to that Facebook. What's that website again?
CatholicsandImmigrants.org.
Okay, CatholicImmigrants.org.
And they can call me. 312-534-8103. You want to bring tamales or just show up, let me know.
And you can also, it starts from 7 and it ends at 9. And so we'll pray for good weather for you. I know last year was really cold, so we'll pray that this year's a little warmer. And just thank you so much. As we wrap up here, I just want to ask quickly, what's your favorite tradition? We have 1 minute.
I would have to say I love our extended family party with the fact that my dad has a couple dozen first cousins. Our family get-together is massive and involves not tamales, but potato pancakes, given that I'm a little bit German.
Awesome. So. Jose?
I stay with the posadas.
Posadas, Cecilia?
The same posadas.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad we brought your tradition. My favorite tradition is we bake a Jesus birthday cake, my daughter and my niece. And now they're having, as they've gotten older, my daughter's 18, my niece is 13. They now have a decorating contest on Christmas for whose cake is better.
That's beautiful.
It's always to remember that it's Jesus' birthday. So that's our dessert on Christmas is the birthday cake. So it's a wonderful tradition that we've kept alive.
I need to learn how to bake.
So thank you so much. And for the details, we will have a link on our shows for all the links for these different opportunities. And thank you for joining us for A Mission of Love.
Thank you. Have a happy Advent, everyone.
Likewise, thank you.
On a mission of love, I send you out. On a mission of love, and know that I am with you always, until the end of the world.
Join us every Monday through Friday at this time for the Catholic Community of Faith. You can stream our programs live or download past programs by going to our website, archchicago.org, and clicking on Radio TV.